and attended ODU, where she earned her degree in information technology. Kelly is the office manager for Harvest and has been leading the Harvest School of Supernatural Ministry since about 2011. Kelly is a black belt and enjoys drinking tea at Starbucks, traveling abroad, playing volleyball, and both cooking and eating flavorful food. Please welcome Kelly Palmer.
Let me see if I can get that up. Got it on. Thank you, Joy. I'm going to grab my Bible here, too. You know, she's right. I do love tea. I love it very much. In fact, not too long ago, I was cleaning up in my kitchen, just organizing and stuff. David, that's really bright. Can we turn down just a little bit? David, can we turn it just a little bit, maybe? Just a wee bit. And my kitchen's quite small. And I'm looking in there, and I realize that I have a whole cabinet that's just really, you know, contains all of my tea, and it's got all kinds of tea in there. It's got my many teacups, and I'm like, this is ridiculous, you know. I'm taking up this much room in here, so I decided I was going to organize it and try to get my tea, you know, in a different place, and I ended up putting a lot of the tea in a drawer in my spare bedroom. But I go back and I look at the cabinet and it looks the same practically. I mean, I realized I might have a problem. Or not. You know, I can't be sure. You know, it might be a good problem to have. But yeah. So I'm really excited about what God's going to do tonight. Did Emma go out? Is Emma around here? Did Emma do a great job or what? That's no surprise, because that's just the type of, you know, woman she is, but really, well done, Emma. She's back there going, she stopped talking. So I was praying about this week and stuff, and one of the things that I felt like God was going to do is the last 3 weeks I've just been, you know, praying and just preparing and stuff, and I kept having one thing happen. I'd be sitting at home or sitting at work, and I'd have these small things fly, you know, across my vision. At first, I'm like, you know, I look like a crazy woman as I'm trying to hit them away. And I realized that they were feathers falling. And it took me a while. Sometimes I'm a little slow on the uptake. You know, I'm like, what is the deal here? And finally, like, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, those are from me. So today, I was sitting at my kitchen table, nary a bird to be found, and this fell. And I was like, I'm going to capture this picture this time. And I wanted to share this with you guys. Another feather fell. And I've never experienced anything like this. This was new for me. And I was like, God, what are you saying? You know, what does this mean? What do you have for the ladies and myself and all of us? And I felt like God said, this is just a symbol of the freedom he's bringing. I just felt like the Lord said, there's going to be people that you've been bound, and he's going to break off the bounds, that you're going to be unfettered, and you're going to be able to fly free, and as you do, things are going to come off of you. They're going to fall off of you. Amen? Amen. So one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight, along with some other stuff, is the dreams and promises that the Lord has for you. How many of you guys have a dream or a promise that you're believing the Lord for? Okay, so a lot of us do, and some of you may not yet. And I just want to encourage you just to have your heart open just tonight when you go home in the morning, just throughout the weekend, because God's going to begin to speak to you. And when he does, I want to encourage you to put that pen to paper. Write it down. Get it in your vision. Get it in your heart, because the Lord is going to begin to speak to you. He's going to begin to bring some things to you. So I just want to go ahead and pray for each other before we start. So if you could just put your hand on someone that's next to you. And I just want you to pray that God just shows up and that whatever their need here is, whatever they are wanting from the Lord, that he begins to move. So just go ahead and pray. So Father, we just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for what you're going to do, God. Father, I thank you that lies will be cast down, Lord. Any lies that come up, Lord, that you would just speak to them and you would reveal truth in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you don't bring shame, God. If any shame comes up, Lord, we just cancel the voice of the accuser, Lord, and we release hope, Lord. We declare that you're a God who restores, Father. So, God, I thank you for what you're going to do here. We just bless it. In Jesus' name, Amen. So if you have your Bible, which I hope you do, I'm going to ask you to open it up to Luke 15. We're going to start in verse 11. And most of us are familiar. Sharon Myers, where is your Bible? Do you want mine? I'm just teasing. You know, seriously, it's okay. It's okay. And Sharon is, you know, one of my girls. I love her, so. But most of you are familiar with this section of scripture, and this is with the prodigal son. And I think many times we can see aspects of ourselves in this story. You know, maybe you're the long-suffering brother. You know, God, I'm over here. I'm being faithful. Hello? Can you see me over here? Or maybe you feel like the younger brother sometimes. If you just give me my inheritance, you know, I'm ready, God. Just give it to me. I'm going to walk this out. You know, it's easy to see these things in these stories. So we're going to start with verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So can we agree that the prodigal probably didn't have wisdom to steward his inheritance at this point? Yeah. You know, I think sometimes in our culture, we have a very, you know, I want it my way. And we're told, you can have it your way. I think it was Burger King that's one of the things that told us that. You can have it your way. The customer's always right. Well, the kingdom doesn't always work like that. You can't always have it your way when you want it. And that's okay. You know, I was thinking about when I was young, we went camping a lot, and sometimes we actually still do. And I don't know if you've ever seen like a toddler or a young child around a fire, but they're just fascinated with it. You know, it seems like they always want to run right next to it, you know, put their hand in, because they don't yet realize that yes, fire can be good, but if unchecked, it can bring great pain. It's important to understand that we don't always get what we want when we want it. And sometimes that's hard to hear. You know, and we have a culture, even our church, where we encourage you to believe that God is going to move. Amen? And God is going to move. But what do you do when you don't get your healing the first couple of times that you go up to get prayer? What do you do with that? Does that mean that God doesn't want to heal you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I want to encourage you to persevere. To persevere. God has dreams and promises for each of you that he's calling you to persevere for. It may not be the season right now where you're seeing that, where you're walking it out and seeing the fruition to take place, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, maybe you believe that you're supposed to be an entrepreneur. You're going to have a great business. That's fantastic. Maybe you're saying, God, you told me I was going to get married. Where's my husband at? Can I get an amen? I'm sure. I'm playing, mostly. Maybe you're believing for your healing or someone else's healing. You know, maybe God's told you you're called to be a great leader, and that's a fantastic thing. That's a good thing. These are good things to believe God for, whatever you're believing the Lord for, whatever promise he's given you, whatever dream he's put in your heart, steward that. You know, do the things that would even partner with the Father in that. You know, if you are called to be a leader, so what do you do to develop those skills? You know, maybe you read books about leadership. Maybe you study great leaders, or, you know, you partner with people. You know, don't despise small beginnings. Maybe you're supposed to be a link group leader. You know, whatever it is that God has called you to do, put yourself in a position to be teachable and grow in that area. By going through the process of even attaining our dreams, we learn how to sustain what God is calling us to. You know, Matthew 7:7 talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And so many times I think we come across that and we're like, God, I asked you. I sought after you. I knocked on the door. What's going on? Well, that's actually a continuum. He's saying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. You know, maybe you feel like your time is past. Sometimes it is hard to sustain a dream. It really can be. It's hard to believe when it seems like our circumstances are completely the opposite. But we know that with God all things are possible. And it's good to know it, but you also need to know it. You also need to know it. And God is going to do that tonight for some of us. He's going to not just make it head knowledge, but he's going to make it heart knowledge. Sometimes it feels like you're just stuck. You're like, what's happening, God? Where are you? Where are you in this? You know what the best thing to do when you're in a desert? You keep moving. You keep moving. You put one foot in front of the other. And I'm going to encourage you. I think most of you here are probably attached to our church, and some of you may not be. But if you're not attached to a body of believers, do it. And I don't really even mean just Sunday morning. There is something important about being in a community. It's important to have people who can encourage you, people who can challenge you, people who will push you. And sometimes it's not fun. You know, sometimes, you know, you go to church, I'm like, I'm not really sure I want to see them. I mean, I know that's not you guys. I mean, it's certainly not me, you know, but sometimes these things do come up. But it's good. These things teach us to grow. And you do need to be around other people, because there are times when you're low and someone will share something with you and it just encourages your heart. It just encourages your heart. You say, okay, God, I'm not seeing what I want to see. I'm not seeing the momentum I want to see here, but I can look at what's happening in my brother or sister's life and I can get excited about that. You know, I had two people tell me stuff this week. I had a person tell me that their dog had a really large growth on its face. So he and his wife, they're like, well, we need to pray for this because we really didn't want to go to the vet. They said they couldn't really afford it. So that night when they got home, they prayed for their dog. And when they got up in the morning, the mass was gone. And then I had another friend who was telling me about how her husband's computer monitor, stopped working. And he, you know, went home, and he's like rewiring everything and pushing the button, nothing. But, you know, she's a very anointed woman of God. So she went home, and she prayed for it, and it worked. That's pretty cool, huh? That's pretty cool. That's the kind of God we serve. So you grab these things, and you run with it, and you encourage yourself. And you're like, yeah, my God did that. My God did that. And I think we probably all have things where we've seen God move. You know, I would encourage you to even, like, to write those down. It's a big deal. Go back to them and say, okay, my God did this for me here. You know, I do this, you know, myself. You know, when I'm having a hard time or I'm like, God, I don't really know if I can get up and minister today. You know, and I go back sometimes and I look at the prophetic words he's given me. I'm like, no, God has called me to good things. He's called me to great things, and I'm going to pursue him. I purpose to pursue him. So keep those things before you. I love this verse. It's found in Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man, one given to lies, and not a son of man changing his mind. Does he speak and not do what he says? Does he promise and not come through? Yes, he does. The Lord is amazing. You know, sometimes I think that some of the dreams and promises in our life are much like when a woman conceives. You know, God gives us something, it goes in our heart, and we begin to nurture that, and we protect it, and we spend time. It takes time with it. You know, and God begins to prepare us in the process. And then the day comes, and you labor, and you bring forth that child. You bring forth that promise. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And they have no idea of all the stuff you've been going through to get there. You know, joy didn't just happen overnight. Marguerite wasn't just like that when she was born. You know, this stuff takes time. It's a process. So put yourself in a position with other believers to be encouraged and be challenged, and write down what he gives you. I think sometimes we think because we haven't got it all together, we don't have anything to offer. You know, well, I'm not like them. Well, I'm not like this person, or, you know, I don't look like that. I don't act like that. I don't, whatever it is. Ladies, you carry what we need. You carry what we need. We don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. There's going to be situations that you go into that God's going to give you a word that he's not going to give me. He's going to speak to you because there's something that he has put in you for that very situation. That very situation. You know, my mom is an incredible cook. She's so good. She's like a MacGyver in the kitchen. It's true. You know, we could be like, you know, mom, there's two eggs, some celery, I don't know, a little bit of ham, and gooey duck, and an oyster. I don't know. What are you going to do with it? And she's like, no problem. Let's just whip this together, you know. And she makes this amazing meal that will feed our whole family, and there's a lot of us, you know. And she's just incredible that way. You know, I'm pretty sure, I can't prove this, but I think they based Chopped on her. You know, the show Chopped? I can't prove it, but I feel pretty good about this. But I've learned that if I want to be a good cook, it makes sense to put myself in a position to learn from her, to heed the wisdom that she has. And I usually get it. I don't always, though. So I decided, like, a few years ago that I wanted to sew a dress. So we went to the fabric store, and I found this pattern. I'm like, yeah, this is it. And I found this fabric, and I'm like, ooh, I really like these together. I want to make this dress. And she said, Kelly, I really don't think it's a good idea. I just don't think this is the fabric. It's going to roll. It's not going to work the way you think it is. You know, I'm all like, I'm going to make it work, like Tim Gunn. I'm going to make it work. Well, I did make it work, let me tell you. And you can't buy dresses that have stitches like this. You can't buy them made like this. I still wear it. I might wear it Sunday so you guys can see. Just don't look too closely at the hem. And the, yeah, it's a delight. But I learned that I need to listen to her. And I'm finally getting there. I saw this really super cute, you know, Pinterest cape coat, and I was like, I'm going to make this. So I go to my sister's house, Laura, and Laura's a great seamstress too. How many pants did you guys make over Christmas? Like 20-some pants. Yeah, they have a special anointing. And they even let me, you know, help, because I've improved, guys. I've got it almost straight. I'm getting there. I'm getting better. But so I see this thing on Pinterest, and I'm like, what's it going to take, you know, 10, 20 minutes? You know, I'm a product of HGTV. I'm pretty sure I can redo a floor in half an hour flat. You know, it's no problem. I've seen it done. So I start, you know, we start putting this, you know, this coat together, and it's going to be really cute, guys, but you know, Laura's machine stopped working, so I wasn't able to do the buttonholes. And Laura said, Kelly, I think you should just wait. And I'm like, how hard can it be to do a buttonhole? You know, I feel like I could figure this out, right? People didn't always have these machines, but I didn't. I chose to heed the wisdom of people who know more than me, and I put myself in a position to learn that time. So I haven't ruined that, which is good. I recognized the strength that they had that I didn't yet possess. And we all have strengths in different areas, amen? And maybe you know how to do buttonholes, and if so, just let me know. We can talk. I'm just joking. Lisa Bevere said, every season of life comes with the capacity to lead at some level. When I saw this, it was like my heart leapt within me, and I'm like, yes, God, that is your heart. That is your heart for everyone, but particularly our ladies. You know, sometimes we're all in different seasons, and, you know, there's grace. I want to be clear, there's grace. You know, if you're a single mom, or even if you're not a single mom, maybe you're homeschooling or you're working, I mean, there's grace. There's grace. Be faithful where the Lord has you at. It is all kingdom work. God isn't just concerned about the supernatural or spiritual aspects of your life. He cares about the practical. And many times, when we're doing practical things, the supernatural flows out of that. So wherever you're at, you know, if you're leading your children, be faithful there. Lead them well. We have resources here. We have the Faith at Home that has a plethora of material there that can help you to grow in that area. You know, I love my nieces and nephews, and if you know me well, you know this. But I'm going to tell you a story about one of my nephews. And he has been raised in this culture where he believes God's going to move, and he loves the Lord, and he challenges us all. But his younger brother went to his mom, and he said, I'm not happy. And she's like, well, what's going on? He said, well, I don't know if I should say his name. He said, my brother told me that he can speak to a mountain, and it will move. And he said, I spoke to the table, and it didn't do anything. I just love it. And then, you know, his brother, his mom told me he could hear him at night sometimes. And then he's like, do you love the Lord? And he's like, yes. Do you trust in God? Yes. Then you're saved. It is such a privilege to be able to raise your little ones. You know, you're discipling there. You're doing kingdom work there. Be faithful in that. There is a season where you can do more ministry-oriented things, and it may even be during that time. You know, that's okay to step out during that time. Maybe you can do the altar ministry or whatever it is, but maybe it's not. Do what God has called you to do in that season and do it well. You know, maybe you're more seasoned. And that's great too, yeah? You have wisdom you carry from walking with the Lord, perhaps managing your career, and maintaining perhaps peace in the face of illness when everything is against you. How do you walk that out? Can you show your younger sisters how that looks? You know, even Bill and Martha Medhurst, many of us know them and love them. And I was looking at, you know, Facebook the other day, and Martha, you know, posted a picture of Bill in his rehab, and, you know, it was just a very encouraging thing. And I was like, oh, Lord, I love how she's walking this out, the way she's showing us how to do these things, the hard things. You know, and it's not just based on chronological age. You know, it may be in different areas. You are older and more mature. You know, maybe someone else has been saved longer. That's okay. If you're younger, you can still mentor someone in that area or disciple them. You know, my sister's younger than me, but when I have children, I'll go to her and say, hey, what do I do with this? Mom, what do I do with this? You know, and that's okay. Do the best you can with where you are. Be faithful. You know, I want to be careful when I even talk about this, you know, that I don't cause you guys to think that this is a matter of performance, that it's a matter of striving. We live in this tension, and you find the balance by being close to the Holy Spirit, and I'm still sometimes learning the balance of being the most excellent we can at what we do. We should be the best workers, amen? We should be known as a people of excellence, but also of people who rest in Him. Yeah? And I can tell you from experience, it's so much easier when you're resting in Him. It's so much easier because when you're trying, man, is that tiring. You know, it's just not fun anymore when I'm just doing stuff in my own strength. You know, it's a huge world of difference. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. But I just want to get through to you guys, no matter where you're at, what you're doing is important. Sometimes it's easy to listen to the voice of the accuser. He'll tell you, you know, what you're doing is not important. You know, what they do, they're up there doing that ministry thing, or they're over there, you know, taking care of kids, or what you do is important. You are important. You are loved. You are the head. You're not the tail. God has good things for you. We serve a God who restores, who redeems, who recreates. He has dreams. He has promises for each of you. I just want you to listen to him. So let's turn to Numbers 13. I'm going to switch it up here a little bit. So here we find the Israelites, and they've been out of Egypt, they think, for about a year at this point. And they've seen many miracles in this time. They've seen, you know, water flow from the rock. They've received manna. They've seen the Red Sea open. They've seen incredible things, and now it's time to enter the Promised Land. So I'm going to pick up here. And at verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.'" And this is kind of where we meet Caleb. And Caleb's probably about 40 years old, and he is the leader of one of the tribes, the largest tribe, Judah. We know there's 12 tribes and 12 people sent out. So we're going to pick up again in verse 17. "Then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." Then we're going to go down to 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.'" And we know that the descendants of Anak were descendants of giants. So this is a very scary prospect for them. I'm going to go down to 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" That Caleb is brave. He's just a brave guy. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.' So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." So we know that they brought back this amazing fruit from this amazing land. But 10 of the spies, not including Joshua and Caleb, were very frightened at the prospect of trying to gain this land as a prospect. The people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Don't allow your circumstances to determine your theology. Don't allow it to determine your theology about who he is, about who you are. Cancel the lies of the enemy, because there will be times when the enemy will tell you, "You're not good enough. This is an impossible situation. There's nothing to be done." And in those moments, it feels like that. It really feels like that. But there are moments when you step up and you say, "No, I will not heed this voice, because my God is greater and mightier. And I will not receive that." So God is looking, and he's asking, who are the Caleb and Joshuas? Who are the Caleb and Joshuas that says, in the face of this, it doesn't matter, because with God, all things are possible? Who are the Esthers that God is preparing for the day for you to step out and redeem his people? Who are the Davids that in the face of a Goliath say, "My God has done it before, he'll do it again, he will deliver me again"? Don't allow your circumstances to determine your theology. Maybe you weren't raised to believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If that was the case, and it is with some of us, he wants to renew your mind. He wants to renew your mind. And there's, you know, several ways you can do that. And I just want to encourage you, you know, some of that is going before him and allowing him to do some stuff in your heart. But maybe, you know, you want to do something like Sozo. We offer a Sozo ministry here where God will go in there and basically do some deep work, you know. Maybe you need to go into an encounter. Encounters are powerful. God does incredible things there. Maybe you need to go to an encounter again. You know, that's okay. Maybe some of the things that hold you back are just that you're tired. You know, I've been there. Just like, God, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can, but we can. And that's important to, even in the midst of this all of this, this life that we're doing, is to take care of yourself. You know, it doesn't make you more spiritual to not take care of yourself. It's good to take care of yourself, to rest. And then there's fear. Fear is a big hindrance. Can you roll that, David? Or Anna Marie?
So when I'm lying in my bed and the furniture starts creeping, I'll just laugh and say, hey, cut that out, and get back to my sleeping, 'cause I know that God's the biggest and he's watching all the while. So when I get scared, I'll think of him and close my
that I scared you when you saw me on TV.
Well, that's okay, because now I know that God is taking care of me.
God is bigger than the boogie man. He's bigger than Godzilla or monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogie man, and he's watching out for you and me.
One more time.
God is bigger than the boogie man. He's bigger than
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring a little bit of levity to the situation, because some of this stuff can be kind of challenging, you know? But seriously, fear can be a big deal, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I know June's going to be sharing about it tomorrow, but it is a big part of my story, and I just want to speak to that some. Fear can be mind-numbing and soul-crushing, you know? And I speak from personal experience, you know. My dad asked me some years ago to, you know, join him on the worship team. And I was like, okay. But inside I was like, no! And, you know, it was a big deal for me to get out there and sing. You know, some weeks it still is. And I just purposed that I was going to do it anyhow, you know. And then I was asked to do ministry and minister, you know, from the front and, you know, stuff like this. And I was just like, oh, Lord. And I remember, I think it was the first time I did announcements, I had people come up to me and they're like, I was in the back and I could see you shaking. You were just shaking. And I was like, yes, I was. Yes, I was, you know. My voice was probably quivering, you know. Fear will try to defeat you. If you don't look at fear as your enemy, it will one day defeat you. I determined in my life that it was a value that fear would not be my master. And I don't always get there right away. I want to be honest. You know, I'm not always like, yeah, I'm going to do it because fear's not going to have, you know, tell me what to do. It's not like that. Sometimes it is. You know, the more you take a step out, the more you say, okay, my God's faithful. It's okay, I can do this, you know. But sometimes it takes time. And fear can be a spirit. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. It didn't come from the Lord. He gave us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. It can also be a learned behavior sometimes. You know, if I open up my heart, I'll get hurt. If I step out, what if I fail? And to that I'd say, what if you fail? You know, I've had moments, and some of you have been there, where I'll be singing and I will just lose track of where I'm at and I'm just making up words and I'm like, oh Lord. I think this past Sunday, one point, I sang Hove. You know, I started to sing Hope and I was like, oh, it's supposed to be love, and I try to switch and it's just, I think it's entertaining for everyone else, you know, I'm just gonna go with that. But, you know, I think sometimes we have this perception that God's like, oh, well, they did it and, you know, they tried, but they messed up. That's not the way God is. You know, think about how you are with a young child or that's learning to walk, you know, and they take those first steps and maybe they fall. And you're like, you encourage them, that's okay. You're doing good. Get up and try again and again. And they get there. And I think God is like that with us. He's proud of us when we step out. He's proud of you when you say, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to pray for this person at the grocery store, even though I don't want to. I'm going to give this person a prophetic word, even though I'm scared. God is proud of you when you step out. Do it. He delights in us. And sometimes we forget that the anointing that comes when we're obedient. Sometimes when his anointing comes, the things that you thought were going to be really hard become a lot easier. And the more you do it, it gets easier. And it's true. You know, I couldn't sleep very well sometimes on Saturday nights because, you know, I knew I'd have to get up and talk the next day at church, you know? It used to bother me that much. But then I realized, who cares, honestly, you know? He's given me an opportunity. I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to step out. So go after him. Pursue what he puts before you. When he gives you an opportunity, as Marguerite, my friend, says, take it. Go for it. And this is something that, you know, I even sometimes now I'll realize. I was driving home a couple months ago, and I was just talking to God and just, you know, spending time with him just while I was driving, and I realized I had allowed small thinking and fear to creep in, and I haven't even realized it at first. And I took that moment to say, I'm not going to partner with that. Father, forgive me for having small thinking, for being fearful. I repent of it. You know, I repent of it, and I purpose to go this way. You know, and if that's you, or if there's something in your life that you need to repent of, do it. Do it and move on. And like I said, there's places where if you need some deeper stuff to happen, and many of us do, pursue it. Pursue it. It's a good thing to do. You can take control in these areas. Fear will try to rob you of your destiny. Do not allow it to do so. Stand firm. Don't yield to it. I'm going to go back to Luke 15, verse 18. And he says, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Man, isn't the father good? What's a picture of our own father? He came to his father, and just like our father, he was received with open arms. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is an area that God's been speaking about to me for some time. I think I mentioned sometimes I'm a little slow to get some of the stuff God's saying to me. But in this process of pursuing the Lord and doing our lives well and being people of excellence, don't forget to take time for joy and pleasure. It's really important. It's really a big deal to be able to sustain what God's called you to. Whatever it is that gives you joy and pleasure, make time for that. It's an important thing to do. You know, I was thinking about my friend Pierco, and I asked her if I could share this, but it's just one of those aha moments, you know, from God. And Pierco is our House of Blessing director. Some of you guys know that. And when she took that position over, they told her that this position, really, you can only do it for 2 years. You can't do it any longer than that. You know, at that point, you're kind of done. It's a very draining, it's a very hard thing to do. And Pierco has been doing it for 23 years as director, 26 years total. Yes, you can appreciate her. That is incredible. And honestly, I can say this without reservation, Pierco doesn't just do a good job, she does it with excellence. She really does. I mean, there's the trust level in her is high. I mean, she's an incredible woman. She really is. And one of the things that I've learned from her is just even the priority she places on spending time with the Lord. You know, she gets up and she spends time with him every morning. And you may not be able to get up right early in the morning, you know, and always spend time with him. But however you do it, make it a priority to get into his presence. Joy is found there. You know, and sometimes it's almost like a discipline when we read the word. It's not always fun. I mean, maybe for some of you guys it's always, you know, a revelation, a new revelation, but it's not always like that. But there's something important that happens when you set that time apart for God, that when you need it, he brings it to your memory. And he begins to speak something that you read some time ago, and he'll begin to breathe revelation on it. And it's for your now moment. So spend that time with him. Put yourself in a position, you know, a Bible study, or whether it's an app on your phone, or just opening up your Bible. And, you know, for me personally, there is something about opening up your Bible. You know, just the feel of the paper and being able to say, oh, it's over here. You know, they're coming out with studies even talking about how we learn, you know, with reading an actual book versus an app. And, you know, goodness knows I have a ton of books on my Kindle, but I also have a lot of other books. So, you know, put yourself in a place where you can just be with him. Spend time in his presence. He wants to be with you. He loves to spend time with you. And the other thing she does well is she makes time for pleasure. Pierco loves to travel. She loves to go see her friends. She likes to do stuff like that. And I've realized that Pierco has made this a priority because even though her work can be very taxing, she's like, I'm going to do it well, but I'm going to spend time doing things I enjoy and that charge me. And this has enabled her to sustain in an area where other people before her were not able to keep this up. And to do it well, and I'm like, that's something that's good. You know, and my other friend Joy gave me a book not too long ago about pleasure and was like, you need to read this. It's really good, and I know she said it helped her. Now I just need to make sure that I set aside a time to read pleasure because I know it won't give me pleasure, you know. But I'm going to do that, actually. It's on my upcoming week, one of the books I want to start reading. Research has shown that laughter reduces levels of stress hormones such as cortisol, epinephrine, and dopamine. It increases health-enhancing hormones, neurotransmitters, and infection-fighting antibodies, and improves blood flow to the heart, all resulting in greater relaxation and resistance to disease, as well as improved mood and positive outlook. So, one of the ladies I like to listen to is Havilah Cunnington. And, you know, she talked about some some things that, you know, she does in her own life, and one of them was listening to something positive or encouraging every day, and that's something that I've taken on, and I've got to tell you, it's really good. Whether, you know, you listen to a worship song or worship set, or you just listening to a podcast while you're driving, that's going to encourage you, do it. It's good to get that in your spirit and your hearts. God wants us to have joy. Amen? Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Does anyone feel like they need to renew their prescription? Yeah. So I believe that God drew each one of you here. There's a purpose he has for you. And I just want to tell you again, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You are loved and you're desired. He's a restorer of dreams. He's not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. And it's time that we as women step into our place. It's time that we step into our place that God's called us in our church, in our homes. You know, we've come into a season, and I'm so thankful for this, that we realize the importance of fathers. That's really important, amen? Amen. This is an important thing that we need, but we also need mothers. We need mothers that nurture. There's something about a woman who has authority and walks in it, who doesn't masquerade as a man, because we don't need that. We need women who know who they are and passionately pursue the Lord, and we need them not just in the secular world, but we need them in the church. Amen? Yeah. I mean, Esther's a perfect example of her life of that. You know, Rosa Parks. Look at the things she accomplished. Stepping up. I just want you to get it in your hearts that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You know, there will come a time when you come to a river, just like the Israelites did, and behind you is the slavery you've chosen to leave behind, the bondage that held you back, and you're moving to a place of freedom. And you'll come to the river, and God will separate the water. And sometimes it's scary to step in. It often is. You know, what if the waves come down? It's scary. You have to trust God. And that's a good thing, because if it's just relying on you, then, you know, what's the point? But you have to trust him to take that first step. And when you do, the promised land is on the other side. Your promised land is on the other side. So ladies, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I want to call the altar ministry team forward. And I actually want to do something a little bit different. I'd actually like to ask you guys to line up on those walls, not up front. David, can you start that music? I believe that some of you God wants to restore hope today. With a melody. You know there's some stuff that God has for you, but you've been scared to hope. Or you just, maybe you don't have an idea of what it looks like, or, you know, how to even begin to accomplish what God's called you to. Maybe you're just feeling hopeless. Like, I don't even know what a dream looks like at this point. You know, I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to make it. God wants to meet you there. And there's some of you that maybe you were like the Israelites, and we thought of ourselves as grasshoppers. And the sight of others in our own eyes. God wants to restore identity to you. You have a purpose. There's so much the Father has for you. Don't let small thinking stop you. Let him speak to you. And some of you, I believe God wants to break some fear off. He wants to just do some mighty things today. So I just want to encourage you to come forward. We want to pray with you. God's going to do some amazing things. Yeah. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. for what you're doing here, Lord, and we just do speak to identity, Father. Father, I just thank you for restored identity, Lord. I ask that you would just even begin to touch people's hearts, God. That you would just begin to renew it, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, and we just call hope to arise, Lord. Hope to arise, even now, Father.